Normally, when it comes to porn sets and so on, we do shoot and we do encourage to shoot with people who are tested negative. Consent and boundaries can change. So we not assume that because one person agreed to a specific thing weeks ago that they have to do it. I would like to shoot with condoms, or like I have no problem shooting without condoms. Like, what kind of lube do they prefer?
Hello and welcome everyone to this very special episode of Cheeksy Chats. Cheeksy Chats is our podcast from the ethical pleasure platform Cheeks, where we talk about relationships, sexual awareness, and queerness. And today we're at Tats Labs. So it's our very first special episode where we have a live session and also our very first interview. So a little bit about ourselves. We are your hosts. I'm Ameze, and with me is Helen. So I'm a digital artist interested in queerness and how art and representation can contribute to our like personal, societal, and sexual liberation.
And I'm Helen. I'm the head of communications at Cheeks, and I also help in the productions of the porn we do, and I also study gender and sexuality in global politics. And today we have our first ever interview guest, which is Lina Bembe.
Hi.
Thanks for joining us, Lina.
Thank you for having me.
And Lina is a porn performer and also Cheeks' very own adult industry specialist, also does intimacy coordination, has directed porn, and has had her own TEDx talks. So very nice to have you with us today.
Thank you.
And we are going to talk to Lina specifically today about what intimacy coordination is, why it's important, and different experiences you have had with it. So do you maybe want to start off by explaining to everyone a bit what the term intimacy coordination means?
Yeah. Intimacy coordination within the fields of film. It's basically a form of... depending on the context, it's basically a form of like choreography of like any kind of like a sexual or intimacy type of scenes in ways that it can guarantee or ensure like the maximum safety and comfort for everyone who is like involved in such a scene, namely actors and performers. Intimacy coordination happens both in conventional film. It has been a growing practice since the Me Too movement. And within pornography, it has also existed for quite some time. It has taken like different names. In some productions, people used to call it something like a caretaker, or there was always a there, in many occasions, there was like a role, additional role in production that was like entirely focused on performers. I think it's very important to say that intimacy coordination in conventional cinema can look very different to what intimacy coordination happens in porn for many different reasons. I think that on many occasions people say, okay, like if it's porn, people are there because you're supposed to be hired to have like real sex, you know? Whereas like in conventional film, when we're talking about like, let's say sexual scenes, like in most cases there are implied, you know? So it goes like a different set of dynamics. And I think that because there's different needs that come around it, but it's also very important to notice that even within the field of pornography, even with if we're going to talk about people having sex and people getting paid to have sex and people being hired because they are supposed to know how to have sex in front of camera, there is always like an extra layer of safety. And there's always like a role that an intimacy coordination can have within an explicit sex scene within a pornographic film.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for me, I wasn't aware of intimacy coordination at all before that. So I would be interested, like, how did you get started with it? Like, how did you find out about intimacy coordination, and when did you start, basically?
Well, I think that it all started, first of all, because I am a porn performer. I have been doing porn for about, well, how many years? Eight or 9 years, something like that. I'll tell you later. But like that, for that amount of time, I have been doing porn. I have been, most of my experience has been in front of the camera. So in that sense, I have had a big learning curve when it comes to what kind of things are promote more safety within, within a porn set, what kind of things have to be negotiated or are best discussed before before a scene is shot, or also what kind of things that happen afterwards will be could happen, whether positive or negative, after shooting a sex scene. So in that sense, that was within that bulk of experience, then I got involved into some into the behind the camera of some porn productions. And in that sense, like my capacity as a performer and the set of experiences that I have has like allowed me to jump into intimacy coordination roles. Within Cheeks, as you mentioned, Helen, as an adult industry specialist, that's my role in Cheeks Productions as much as I can.
Yeah, we recently did a very fun Cheeks production where it's called Office Orgy. So as you can imagine what will happen in the film, but you play a CEO who kind of leaves the office and then people get a bit naughty and there's some fun time. And in this, you played the CEO, but because you weren't involved in the intimate scene itself, you were also the intimacy coordinator there. And would you maybe walk us through the process? So there was five people who were part of the intimate scene. Do you speak to them individually first? Do you talk to them on the day of the set, before, after? How does the process work?
Okay, yeah, like for, I think in films for general, but for example, but as an orgy scene, which of course, like the more people, the higher the level of complexity when it comes to these things. There's a lot of that happens before we shoot, and we're talking about like weeks in advance. And it all starts with checking in with each member of the cast. Like they all know, with as much notice in advance, who else are they going to shoot the scene with. I think that's also something very important, because from the get-go, people should be comfortable with the persons that they're going to shoot with. In the sense, like while we're talking about like level of comfort, it's not about like, oh, I like this person or I find this person attractive. It's not like that, but it's much about like people with whom that you are like, that you have like no reservations about like their level of like, okay, this person seems like professional, this person seems like reliable. I have seen this person shooting with this and these people, so it seems like they could be legit. So in that sense, like each performer has the right to have an opinion and even a veto in case of like there is someone that they do not wish to shoot with for questions around like safety or like past bad experiences or bad reference and so on. So that's already like one part of like one small bit of intimacy coordination. Then when we cast people upon the signature of their contract, we have also like a list of boundaries. In terms of like sexual boundaries, what things they are willing to perform, what things they will not be willing to perform like at all. We call this hard boundaries. And also what things could be like negotiated. So people already are invited to think about what kind of things are they are okay with performing on set, and what kind of things is like, you know, like this never works for me. I never want to do this. And then we know this in advance. Then when we do have the full cast on board, we have, also when we have like this, we have like individual talks with the performers when we want to cast someone, and they're also introduced. This is like done in tandem with the director, and then like I'm kind of there like nodding and everything, and then just like jumping in into like discussing what would be like the process of intimacy coordination in terms of like we're gonna we inform the person, hey, you're going to be shooting perhaps with this person. We're going to have already like a round for everyone to discuss our boundaries. And if there is anything that you want to communicate to us in advance, let us know. And then we take this into account. So then when we have like everyone on board, we have one meeting in which everyone, in which they are explained what's going to happen on the day of the shoot, what kind of expectations, what kind of things are expected from the actors in terms of like, we describe the scene. It's like, oh, like, yeah, this scene we're going to have, it's going to be like heterosexual focused. We're going to ask like for like soft sex, like nothing really hardcore, nothing really BDSM. The sex scene is going to last about this amount of time, and the day it's going to go like, maybe we're going to shoot like first the acting scenes, we're going to have a break, then we're going to jump into the sex scene and so on. So you go in detail telling the performers like how, what they can expect for the day in terms of, yeah, like logistics and like no average like film shooting. And then we go into a round where each performer discusses our, what, with all this information into account, we're going to a round in which each performer discusses like what kind of things they will be into with a little bit more focus on the scene, and what kind of things they will, are not at all into, and what kind of things they could be open to negotiating and stuff. So there's a little bit of like, there's already like this chance of coming a little bit more together, and for the performers also to imagine with a little bit more of detail what they can expect from the scene, from the day of the shoot, and how's it gonna go. We also discuss a little bit more, in depth, what kind of like needs do they have in terms of like safer sex practices. Details like, oh, I would like to shoot with condoms, or like, I have no problem shooting without condoms. Like, what kind of lube do they prefer? Any kind of things like, oh, do you need gloves? Like, all those type of details. And yeah, so all of this is done like weeks in advance before the shoot. Then, also, I mean, this is normal practice in all porn sets, whether there is like intimacy coordinator or not. Each performer is like expected to get tested for STIs, and they share their status with us, the results of their test before we shoot. So when we go on the day of the shoot, and so on, like we have again another round of intimacy coordination. This is done shortly before the sex scenes is about to be shot. And then we go again into like discussing the kind of things that they mentioned they were eager to do or like not at all into doing. We also discuss how are they feeling for the day, because in this sense, like we understand that consent and boundaries can change. So we not assume that because one person agreed to a specific thing weeks ago that they have to do it, or that they perhaps do not feel like doing that anymore on the day of the shoot. So we have yet another round in which people are saying a little bit more like up to like 10 minutes before shooting, okay, yeah, like this is what I'm feeling, this is how I'm feeling today, this is what I want to do, this is what I don't want to do, and so on. And in the same vein, like each one of the performers is informed about like the STI status of everyone. And they are like also like, they are also very much free about like agreeing to shoot or not and so on. But normally when it comes to porn sets and so on, we do shoot, and we do encourage to shoot with people who are tested negative on all the sets of like tests. And yeah, and after this like checking in round, like the sex scene develops. And then in this sense, like the role of the intimacy coordinator is to have like the eyes on performers at all times. It's also important to mention that at all times within the whole like process of intimacy coordination, like the performers are assured that it doesn't matter that I am like also paid by the company that it's hired. Like doesn't matter that even though like Cheeks is my employer, they are my bosses, like my role for on the day and throughout the process before, during and after, like my role as an intimacy coordination is to be like kind of like their advocate. So there, if there is like something that doesn't feel right for them, or if there is something that they have like an issue with afterwards, that I am still reachable and I am still like there, eager to advocate for them if necessary, like mediate if necessary, or like provide any kind of like accountability if necessary. And yeah, like during the sex scene, I just like there having my eyes on them, kind of like seeing, giving cues to the director. Okay, like this person looks tired, or like we have shot like this much. Like you're kind of like pretty much reading the room. Mm-hmm. So to, when it comes to the sex scene, and also giving cues to the director if it's necessary. And yeah. Like more small things like, oh, like I'll give you towels to the performers. I'll like, do you want some water? Stuff like that. And then after the scene is shot, it is my role also to check in with the performers, like, hey, if everything went well and so on. If you need something, if you want to discuss anything and so on, just I am here. Let me know and so on. And yeah, this is the very long story of, of the many things and the many, many, many different roles and details that come with doing intimacy coordination.
But so it's also very nonverbal that you have to like pick up on cues, like that you see if somebody maybe seems uncomfortable, that you like make it a topic and not wait for them to come to you, right? That you...
I mean, it's like a little bit of a balance. Hmm. Also, when it comes to... to performers, especially when they have experience, you can tell also that people do have experience because they're like very much, they really have no problems with verbalizing and being like communicative about what the things that they need or not. So in that sense, like, and this is like one very important factor about like doing pornography, about like how important it is to work with people that have some experience. I know what to expect and what to do, because it's also people that can manage themselves, you know, in that sense. So when it comes also like to non-verbal cues and so on, of course, it's important to have our eyes on that, because it's like also, I mean, even if you have experience and so on, you never know when you can be like taken aback about like something. But... So in that sense, yeah, that will be my job. Like, fortunately, I have never, up to this point, I have never been in a situation where someone really looks like trouble, or like they're having like a really bad time. And it's like, okay, maybe we have to stop. Maybe we have to pause. Fortunately not. But I have to say it's like a very good combination between reading the room, but also about trusting that performers and people who have experience, I have been doing this for a while, they also feel comfortable with like asking for a pause or... Yeah.
And if somebody would be inexperienced, that would be probably also something that you knew beforehand, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I think normally when it comes to people who don't have that much experience, like my advice, it's just to have like more meetings with them and a little bit more like, hey, like get to meet the director, get to ask like as many questions as possible about how, what you can expect for the day. Also questions about the intimacy coordination side of things, about the sex, about like what kind of reassuring, you know, inviting them to voice their boundaries, about to inviting them to voice their preferences and so on, so that things got a little bit more as safe as possible. Because I don't know, like sex in the private life, it's super different from sex in camera, and there's many things, many blind spots that you can have. Like, doesn't matter how much you like sex, and doesn't matter how free or liberator or anything, it's so different. It's super different. So it's very important to try to cover as many bases as possible.
Yeah, and you mentioned that sort of your role is to be there for the performers. So on the set day, the director is kind of there to kind of fulfill their vision on how it's supposed to look. And your role is to kind of step in, but you also have the power sort of to step in. And when you say stop, or the camera's too close or something, people are there to listen to you, right? That is,
Yeah, totally. I think that, I mean, as a director, like your role, especially when you're shooting, you have to have your eyes set everywhere. So it's also one of the advantages of having an intimacy coordinator. Of course, like the director has like their eyes on the performers and so on, but they also have to discuss some things with the camera, or like some discuss like some things about lighting, or like have to talk to the producer and so on. So in this sense, like for an intimacy coordinator, it's just like having their eyes on the people. And when these kind of things happen, I feel that the communication is always done with the director first. Like, okay, like if you see something that it's like feels kind of like that should be, that should have like the director's attention, then you like discuss it first with them. And then the director like gives the instruction and so on, just to keep it in that sense, like a little bit like more organized when it comes to set and production work. But I guess that if there was like a case of like some very like big like emergency or something that is like, okay, you have to stop right now, then I think that as an intimacy coordination, you could have like the, you could feel, I will never feel shy of not speaking.
Yeah. And have there ever been like some conflict? Because like when I worked on sets, like hierarchies have been very clear, like that the director like has the final say, or maybe he has a certain vision. And if anybody would like interject that he maybe has a, or like they maybe have a certain reaction to that. Do you ever had like issues with that?
I think with porn, the very interesting thing is that directing doesn't work as, works somehow different, that it goes with different to what directing will work when we will be like some kind of like fiction work, you know? I do feel that it does, like directing pornography with or without intimacy coordination really, really requires the director to be attuned with the performers, and to have like, and to make also very clear what the vision and what the intentions of the film are. Because of course, like when it comes to porn, like really, really the sex performance, it's like the, it's like the focus, it's the backbone of it. It's the main thing about it. So I don't know, for example, you can have a conventional film story and so on. And then like it starts here, and then you go with the narrative there and so on. And maybe there's like some kind of intimate scene of any sort, but then goes, it's part like a bigger thing. When it comes to porn, like the sex is really like the, it's a big, big, big thing. So in many ways it does require, of course, there's like all kinds of people everywhere, and it will be, and there has been the cases of directors that are like, oh, this is my vision and it has to be executed at the cost of whatever. But I will say that those kind of people should not be directing porn at all, period. That's like not safe at all. So of course, like a good director has like good communication, communicates like very clearly what their expectations are for the scene, and makes sure that the performers are like able to, are fine with delivering that. And also the director should be fine with letting the performers put, contribute themselves into a sex scene. Because sex scenes in porn, they're not choreographed. It's not like, oh, you start touching here and then you go there. It's like you tell the performer, okay, this is what I need. And then the performers need to execute it from beginning to end with no intervention. Like in most cases, there's like no intervention for the director.
So this also kind of means that, as you mentioned before, there's also other industries that use it, but not, so not only porn, but film or music videos, for instance. And it's recently been getting more. And as someone who has worked also in the porn business or has been filmed, would you say that it's something all industries would generally benefit from?
Absolutely. I think so. I think totally, because I mean, and it's very interesting that the definition of like this type of role, it's like intimacy coordinator. It's not like sex choreographer or anything like that, because intimacy can mean a lot of things, you know? There can be like many kind of situations. You don't need to be half nude or nude, or to pretend that you're having sex in order to have like a scene that can feel intimate, that can be very vulnerable for performers, that can be difficult to enact. So in this sense, like this word intimacy, it's very broad, and there are so many applications for it. Like when it comes to, I mean, any type of like performative arts or activities, like should require like some sort of intimacy coordination. I think also like the very interesting thing, like compare like pornography compared with the rest, is that in porn, you talk about sex and intimacy, it's always depicted in a positive way. Like regardless of the gender and so on, like the goal is for someone to get like some kind of like pleasure or sexual gratification, which is meant to be good. Even if you're torturing someone, the person who's agreeing to be tortured, it's because they're going to feel good about it in some way. And we were talking about like, I don't know, conventional film, we can talk a little bit more about like more difficult situations, typical sexual assault scenes, scenes that involve like maybe children in situations that even that could be beyond their comprehension, you know, things that even if there's like no nudity and sex, but they're still like nonetheless intimate and can be very intense for actors, and they might need like some support and some kind of like coaching in able to perform them adequately to give the best performance out of them, and also for them to be able to handle them if necessary. So it's very complex, it's very vast. And when it comes, and going back to porn, I mean, we're talking about sex on camera, and that's also like an extremely vulnerable thing to do. Like, I don't know, like sex and sexuality are an extremely complex thing. And just because like one decides to do pornography or one decides to like go into this field doesn't mean that they do it because they have like no problems or because they have like no points or there's, or because there's like no potential risks, I would say, of like, of a scene like being somehow like particularly vulnerable. And also, I don't know, there's days in which like perhaps like safety, it's not like you cannot always guarantee, as with any other kind of job, that the job is going to be like 100% safe, like full risk-free every single time, all the time, because that's just not materially possible. So in that sense, you also need to be able to get some extra layer of protection, like something to that can help you to handle things, to if there's a necessity of mediation, conflict resolution, of any kind of like accountability process, or just to let some steam off, like those kind of things are always necessary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what I think is interesting about that is that when I talked with a partner about it, mm-hmm. he said that reality TV could benefit from that completely, because reality TV sort of thrives off like this, like crossing the line, but having a person like you there who's like there for like the participants to like confide in and to check like what's your boundaries and like how can we respect you on camera would sort of be amazing, right?
Yeah, totally. I think that would be super, super useful. And I feel that in so many ways, it's like, it's so fascinating, you know, how like you see like some films are seen like, oh, like these are like masterpieces of like timeless masterpieces. And then you read, for example, interviews with the actors, and then the actors end up telling you like how they felt, I don't know, perhaps not always physically, but also maybe emotionally drained, you know, about like playing a certain role, or about how they were like some kind of like power imbalances, you know, that maybe that for things that might look amazing on camera, but then it turns out that the person who enacted that was like miserable, you know, throughout it, or felt pushed throughout it. Like also reality, it's something that thrives off like people like going to extremes, or like going into some sort of like untapped like emotional displays, or also like making the most of people who are like naturally like abusive or narcissistic, you know, and people like victimizing others through it. Of course, like that, those kind of things like could totally benefit from these type of roles. And that's the funny thing about like porn, that it's like so demonized in all these ways, you know, about like, oh, it's exploitative but seriously, like what other, like, does that mean like film industry is not like that? Or that modeling industry where many minors go into it, like, or reality TV and so on, in so many ways, like we are very much demonized because we're just like showing how explicit sex, but I feel that there's like a lot that many other industries and could learn from how we organize ourselves or take care of like these type of things.
You also, I think what's interesting about this is because, for instance, if you go onto reality TV, you like sign a contract at the beginning and you know you will be filmed everywhere. And then that's just it. You're kind of like placed on this island and you're just going to have to deal with what happens. But for you, you guys, of course, also do this like little list before of practices they would like to do or not, but also check in during the day and have kind of like code words that are used if things shouldn't be done. So there's not like one strict rider that says this can be done, but consent is like evolving or varying and you're there to make sure that this is happening. And you also have a feedback cycle, right?
Yeah. Yeah, there is a feedback cycle. I feel that we don't make it a kind of like an immediate thing because I don't know, like after shooting, you can have like your emotions somewhere and so on.
Just
so,
had sex. Yeah.
So yeah. So we just don't take it like for granted, like, hey, or I don't know. It's also like awkward, like after you're done shooting and so on, and someone goes and asks you, how are you feeling? I'm like, I just feel like I need some space. Thank you. So it goes like also afterwards. And sometimes people are just like, yeah, it's all fine and so on. Sometimes people just don't say anything. And it's like, because like, I don't know. And then like, sometimes it also happens that people give feedback afterwards. And it's like, okay, like the situation, I felt that it was like not that okay because this isn't that. And then you just like go into dealing with it. But it's also important to understand there's like so also like some timing that needs to happen, you know, and things are not always like that immediate to discuss.
Mm. Yeah, but I think it's probably also super important that it's such an iterative process, right? That you have like multiple rounds also to like build trust with the performers, because I imagine that's like the most difficult, that they really trust you, like as a stranger coming in and telling them like, you can let me know what your boundaries are and stuff like that. So it's probably one of the strategies that helps the most, right? The multiple thing.
Yeah, I think multiple things, the multiple rounds like make you like kind of like ensure people, like motivate people like, hey, you can like really talk to us and so on. And I feel that also speaks about like how serious you are about your approach, because you can say like, oh yeah, like because you can, it will be so easy also to assume that, oh, we're doing this because it's like the it's a requisite, you know, so you have to tick it off your list and then just like move on. It's like, okay, no, like I think that it's important to, as a production, to show yourself as someone who's taking this as a serious thing, and with that comes the trust side of things.
You've also been on the other side of the role, of course. So you've also performed yourself. Have you ever been on sets where there hasn't been any intimacy coordination?
Yeah.
And how is it?
I mean, I think that productions can take like many, many different roles. Like when it comes to porn, you can do like, there's like a million ways of like producing a film. I think that sometimes when you have like a set where you have like a full crew, like a proper location and all of this, I think it can be a little bit more intimidating not to have an intimacy coordinator, because you just like see, I don't know, just like the size of things like makes you think like, okay, like I have like this much time to deliver this or to do that, you know, it just makes it it can make it sometimes a little bit more intimidated if you ask, if you need a pause or if something is not going well, you know, or if you're feeling nervous or something, because like, oh my God, like this, like I have all this crew, like all these people are waiting for me. I need to deliver this and that. So in that kind of size of productions, it can be a little bit, it's nicer if there is like someone that you can like just talk to instead of like addressing everyone or just like saying it out loud to the director or something like that. In some other types of productions that are a little bit more like amateur or smaller or done a little bit more in a kind of like DIY independent fashion, I feel that the role of intimacy coordinator can change, you know, because maybe in some ways, like if you're like doing a film, like more in a collaborative fashion, it's like, okay, there's not like this kind of like hierarchy, you know, and then things need to take a different type of role. Maybe you have just someone to take care of everyone, you know, or you like have someone in a role of caretaker, not really intimacy coordinator. And in this sense, I feel that the context in many ways can determine, you know, and in many ways there's also like many porn sets that are still like with the idea that, oh, we don't really need an intimacy coordinator. Like, I know everything. I can handle everything, you know, and maybe you go and then you have like, it's everything safe. Everything is like professional. Everything goes according to plan, you know, and maybe you don't need it. But again, it's always like a safety net that you have there.
It's probably also because it's fluctuating. Like one day you may say that this act is okay for me, but the other day you may feel different, right?
Also that. Yeah.
But you having both sides of the experience, like being a performer and also an intimacy coordinator, probably gives you like a unique perspective or like a way to approach this work, right? That you can do it maybe in a very profound way where you know, okay, I would like to be spoken that way or I would have it this way on set.
Yeah, totally. I think that in many ways, like knowing what it feels like to be on the other side of the camera, it definitely makes you more attuned with how things can go, you know, and how to better prepare or how does it feel, you know, like what kind of like how thick is your skin after what during everything or after everything or how nervous can someone be beforehand. Or definitely it does help a lot. And I feel that especially in porn, it's super important to have people that have already like experience in front of the camera.
But you can also become an intimacy trainer without having done it, right? You like train for it, I guess?
There is training these days. And I mean, there's training for intimacy coordination for conventional film. And that takes a very, very, very different, well, it takes like a different angle because they also work with the kind of like movement, like from right from theater, you know, it also goes into visiting like protocols about like filmmaking, about how like some intimacy coordination decisions are even determined by the actors, like contracts and stuff like that. So that's very different, but that also exists like for pornography. And it also goes a little bit more into detail about the vulnerabilities of sex, about like communication techniques, about like conflict resolution, but it also like super, super focused on explicit sex and about real sex happening in front of the camera. So it takes a very different dimension. But there is training for sure.
Yeah, nice. I think maybe the remaining time we could use that to like also get some questions from the audience in case there are some.
Hi. Thank you. It was so interesting to hear from you. I have a question regarding maybe the background of people because you said like more experienced people are maybe better at like advocating for themselves. So I was wondering maybe is that also depending maybe on gender or like people of a certain gender better to advocate for themselves, maybe because they're more used to it or because of like societal expectations or something like that? Maybe you can say something about that.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. As with everything in life, gender roles play a role. With this, I also don't mean to say that, oh, like, because you have like certain years, you are an ace at advocating for yourself 100% of the time, all the time. No, but with some experience comes also a little bit of like certain skills and getting used to it. But definitely, like, there's always like a gender dimension into how to advocate for yourself and what things you feel entitled to or that you feel that you can express and so on. And I think that also comes with the context in which you are filming. Perhaps like it will be like a whole different way of advocating yourself if you were like working for an average mainstream company as opposed to maybe some feminist production company or different if you are like, I don't know, if you're a racialized person and you're working in an all-white set, you know, or like it definitely comes with all the different nuances that come with different types of identities and different levels of privileges and so on. So it goes like with that, and also goes with the context. But in this sense, like what you, the thing that you can have in your favor is like, okay, you have like more experience at least like maybe 2 years ago, I was like absolutely terrified of even saying anything. And now with this experience, I don't know if it's going to go everything on my favor, but at least I know that maybe I can speak up, or maybe I can share my knowledge, or maybe I can ask for support, or maybe I cannot say anything right now, but wait a week and then I will send an email, or things like that.
Yeah, super interesting question. Thank you.
Does it also maybe help if you shot with the same people several times who kind of know you and then can also notice when something's wrong with you versus a production company you've never been with? If you've, yeah, had, because in the little Berlin bubble, a lot of people have shot together before, and so they kind of know each other already. Does this also help with kind of being there for each other and advocating for each other?
Yeah, totally. Of course, like the more you know people, you know, like, you know how people work and you know what kind of things you can expect or not, or how people work. And it's like, hey, like, and then it goes really easy. I think that sometimes even it's more about like kind of like the, it, in my experience, it has been a little bit like the kind of like porn genre, you know. I'm very much used to working with like what it's usually called like feminist productions, you know, or a little bit like more into the indie or even amateur side. But for example, when I work with a mainstream company and so on, it was like, oh, it went well, but I was just wondering like what kind of things, I was just like really not knowing, you know, like what kind of things are like I could ask for, or what kind of things are like, if something went wrong, how could I possibly navigate that, and so on. In that occasion, like everything like well went and according to plan, and it was just like all like professional, you know. But it's also like it's just like us being like kind of like in a way like out of your element, you know. So of course that comes the questions, and it comes like, okay, what if, you know. But definitely knowing people, or like getting used to working on a regular basis with similar people, that can help you to know them. And that doesn't mean that problems cannot happen, you know. Mm-hmm. But in a sense, you can hopefully feel safer for negotiating them.
Yeah, it can probably also go both ways, right? That there are performers who are like, oh, I know this person, I don't want to perform with them, perhaps. Right. Yeah.
Yeah, that's absolutely a practice. And I think that it's also something that it's communicated, like you have the right to veto or to say, hey, like if there's someone that you don't want to work with, it's fine. No questions asked also. That's normal practice.
Do you remember your first set with an intimacy coordination? And was it like, wow, there's someone here for me kind of experience? Or were you just like, yeah, okay. Hi. another meeting.
Yeah, I remember. And it was like, oh, okay, cool. But it was like, it was also because I was working with people that I was already very familiar about working with. I was like, okay, this is really nice. As in like having like some type of like, in terms of like having some extra protocol, you know, or in terms of having like this kind of like production practices. So I was like, okay, like this is cool for them. Like for me, it was like, okay, yeah, let's just like do this, blah, 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 and so on. But in that sense, I think that not because like my experience was like very relaxed and cool, like that doesn't undermine the fact that it's important to have someone fulfilling that role. And also it doesn't matter if you are shooting with people that you're already used to shooting with. So in that sense, I found that really good. Like for me, it was like totally uneventful. And for me, it's just like, oh, nice. In many ways, it was more the logistics side. Like, okay, now I know who I can ask for some water without having to move from here. Oh, like this person's going to bring me some towels or something like that. But of course, it can get more complicated than that. And it's always good to have someone there.
Nice. Yeah. I think on my end, I'm out of questions.
Do you have anything else you would like to share or say about intimacy coordination? Or...
I think that for me, it's just about like this intimacy coordination role. I feel that it got like more, it got a little bit more, popular, with when intimacy coordination was adopted by mainstream filmmaking after Me Too. Mm-hmm. But I do have to say that this kind of thing, like intimacy coordination, is probably something that's the general public, like general film industries, had to learn from pornography. And I feel that going, circling back into like the stigma that comes with porn and how it is demonized about being like exploitative and abusive and so on, I do have to say that with intimacy coordination, like came and started in pornography as a collective self-care practice. And even if it didn't have like this like fancy name or a more like standardized name, even if it didn't have like people being consultants and agents and academies for that, it already existed with us. And it already set like a way of like taking care of ourselves. And it already had a role in assuring and giving like a little bit more safety on set for performers especially. And again, I feel that this is kind of like a case of like stigma doing its thing, you know? It already existed with us. Now it's like fancy elsewhere, but it started with us.
Yeah, but interesting that the cycle is so like commonplace, that like marginalized groups like have like this technique or like this habit, and then mainstream culture adopts it, sort of, yeah.
Yeah. Always the same story.
But are there any projects or like upcoming things that you want to plug like on this stage or for this moment?
Well, I feel this is how it's been like very busy at Cheeks. We've been doing like a good chunk of films, entertainment films, but also tutorials, sex education tutorials. So in this sense, I would just recommend you to keep an eye on Jigs, and yeah, there will always be like films coming up. Yeah.
Nice.
Thank you so much. It was lovely hearing you explain intimacy coordination to us, and yeah.
Yeah, I think it was a great first experience for us.
Yay.
Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me as your first.
And thank you for joining us as well.
Thank you.
We would also like to remind you that if you would like to see Lina's work in action or post-action, I guess, that we have a bunch of Cheeks originals on our platform, which means porn that we ourselves produced, where Lina, in most cases, was the intimacy coordinator. If you want to watch those fun videos, you can find them on our platform, Cheeks. In the description, there's a link with a code. The code is CheeksyChats, so CheeksyChats, and a link to our site. And with that code and link, you can test out Cheeks 7 days for free. We hope you enjoy it.